In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The parable of the wedding feast is somber. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why only a few, Lord? Why not bring everyone into the feast? Well, our Lord has every intention of doing so. Hence, at the end of the parable, Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. And God calls and invites all people to join the kingdom of heaven in this wedding feast, yet only a few are chosen. But the ones not chosen didn't miss out because the king didn't want them. They aren't chosen because they didn't want to be there. This parable teaches a bit about election, how God chose his children from the very foundations of the world. But the unique thing about this parable is that God explains the complexities of election as it plays out. So this parable doesn't explain the eternal process in the heavens, but shows us here now what election looks like. Now the parable describes three different kinds of guests, yet only one kind of guest enjoys the feast. To begin the parable, Jesus speaks about the invited guests. These guests were the ones who received the invitation long ago before the table was set. So when the day came, the table was set and the feast was ready to go. But there wasn't anyone there yet. And out of the king's patience and mercy, he sent his servants to go tell his guests, "Hey, remember that invitation? Well, the feast is ready to go. Come on in." Now, many unbelievers experience this patience and mercy of God now in life as it's lived out now. God is not angry with them. His anger for sin was taken away on Jesus, but recompense for declining the invitation will surely come. But the invited guests had other priorities. They thought they had better things to do with their time. They ignored the king's invitation. They blew off the king to tend to their farms and their businesses. And they got so annoyed with the king's invitation that they treated the king's servants shamefully and they even killed them. It became evident that they weren't going to come. So yes, the king got angry and justice was served. And they were destroyed. So in the application of this parable to us, we're begged to ask the question, who are these invited guests and what was their issue? Well, their issue wasn't a matter of belief or unbelief. They knew who the king was. The problem was that they wanted to be king. Why else did they treat the king's messengers with shame and kill them? They just wanted to rule their own kingdoms, their own farms, their own businesses, and just be left alone. How many people do we know who've declined the invitation? How many hear the life-saving gospel, been invited to church where word and sacrament are given so that Jesus may come to meet his people to forgive their sin? Yet they decline such a great offer as that. They know who God is, even calling themselves Christian, yet they refuse to follow his reign, his rule. They think they have better things to do with their time than to spend an hour a week at heaven's dining table. They'd rather be gods and kings of their own domain, filled with things that please them. And so they decline the invitation. Thus they decline forgiveness. And out of his patience, God waits until the last day to cast them to destruction, giving them time and opportunity to repent and accept the invitation. But their issue wasn't ever that they believed in the wrong God. It wasn't that they didn't know God as king. They knew God was king. They just didn't like his kingdom. So let's return to the parable. The second kind of guest is the one whom God receives into the feast. The king set out his servants to pick up anybody that they saw on the street. Everyone they found was brought into this wedding feast. The hall was filled with people for the wedding feast. Now, if you notice, the text says that good and bad people are gathered to join the feast. How wonderful is that? And it shows the graciousness of the king as host, because what makes one worthy to attend the feast isn't their own morality. What makes one worthy is if the guest heeds the call and accepts the invitation. Similarly, God invites us to himself through the gospel preached, both the bad and the good. He sends messengers to invite everyone to his kingdom. His Spirit works for repentance of our sins, sins which would eventually lead us to decline the invitation, sins which would cause us to be Lord over our own kingdoms. Or if we were a part of his kingdom, we'd want to be in his kingdom on our terms, not his. In putting to death such sins, God then calls us to faith through the gospel, where we trust the work of the King who sent his son Jesus to win forgiveness on the cross. And through his work on the cross, the invitation is sent forth to the nations. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. That all who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. All who believe in him and are baptized are clothed with a wedding garment. If you remember last week's sermon, the wedding garment is your baptismal garment, where you have died and risen with Christ. For all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Galatians 3:27. And so relating this back to the doctrine of election, those who have put on Christ need not fear condemnation. Those who heed God's call to repentance receive their baptismal garments and dine at the heavenly table where Jesus distributes his body and blood need not worry about their standing before God, because they simply enjoy God's table and God's kingdom. And then there's the third type of guest in the parable. He receives destruction like the invited guests. I like to call him Curious George. Somehow he snuck into the feast with the rest of the folks, but he never picked up his wedding garment. He never put it on. And so the king spotted him, bound him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was tossed to hell. Now, I call this guest Curious George because, well, best case scenario, he's just curious why all those people were there, stops by for a bit, but never plans to participate in the wedding feast. Or worst case scenario, this guy comes across as pompous and prideful. He refuses to put on the wedding garment because he wants to be a part of the king's feast on his terms, not on God's terms. Perhaps we relate more to Curious George than the guy who rejects the invitation outright. Even though we sit in the pews each Sunday, gazing upon the heavenly feast of the Lord's Supper and hearing his word, there's risk that we could be bound hand and foot and cast into the outer darkness. But how could that happen? Well, by refusing to take to heart the message preached, by refusing to take the Lord seriously, by passively hearing the words of a man instead of actively engaging with the word of God, by letting God's word go in one ear and out the other, not treating the church as ex opera operato. So that's a Catholic phrase, ex opera operato, which means from the work performed. They use this phrase in their confession of the Lord's Supper, and it teaches that the Lord's Supper forgives sins, regardless of if the one who receives it has faith or even repents of their sins. But this treats the Lord's Supper as hocus pocus magic. Say a few words, have your sins forgiven, then you go on living your life however you want. But we know that when taken faithfully, the supper works forgiveness. Without faith and repentance, the supper works harm, according to 1 Corinthians 11. So we don't simply observe what's going on at the feast at this altar, but we participate in it. We're invited to leave our sins at the altar, turn from them, receive Christ's holiness in the meal, and live as ones forgiven. Now, to put all this in a bit of perspective, the feast described in the parable is at the last day, when God comes to judge the living and the dead. So that wedding feast is yet to come. But the feast is also now. We have a bit of the eternal feast of heaven given to you today at this altar. It's right here. Heaven and earth meet at this moment where Christ gives you his body, his blood to forgive you all your sins. Your life centers around this Lamb on his throne, along with all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Here you experience this foretaste of the heavenly feast which is to come. And in this heavenly meal, God graciously chooses you to come to this feast where you engage with eternity. Everyone is called to this feast because Christ has died for them. Here he delivers his body and blood. There are many in our own households and extended families and neighborhoods and towns who are invited to have what you have. But they need a messenger, a voice to extend the invitation. And so through your voice, God invites, calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church. May the Lord's invitation be sent out to all, that he may bring in those who follow his call. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.